This fall, the coolest team on ice is learning there's more to playing the game.
It's not just about hockey.
Than they ever imagined.
We need to beat the varsity or the board could take away your scholarships.
Don't be careless, but don't be too careful either.
I told them that you were the heart of the team.
You cannot be afraid to lose.
You know we're going to hurt you.
Bring it on.
The Mighty Ducks.
Quack, quack.
Welcome back into another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie, and the only rule of the podcast that we must watch a movie that's rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. So, to let you guys in behind the scenes a little bit, I was inspired by the Four Nations Tournament. Now, I can't remember the last time that I went home with the intention of watching hockey, but I watched a lot of this hockey game, so I was thinking, well, what's a hockey movie that would qualify? So we picked D3, The Mighty Ducks, Mighty Ducks 3, and you know it's a big podcast because Robert Brinton is here. He also watched Mighty Ducks 3, which is a 5.5 on IMDb. Rob, man, happy to have you on this episode of the podcast.
Happy to be back. Big time hockey fan, Carrington Harrison now.
Absolutely, man. The plot of this movie, the unruly team of hockey misfits grows up a bit and receives a scholarship to a prestigious prep school where they take on the snotty varsity team. This movie has a runtime of an hour and 44 minutes. The release date, October 4th of 1996, with the runtime of 104 minutes. So Wikipedia doesn't have a budget for this movie, but it did make $22.9 million at the box office. This was the lowest grossing movie out of the series. I know we'll get to the box office here, the top five for the week. It didn't feel like we needed this one.
Mm-mm.
One, iconic. Two, you could maybe argue two is better than the first one.
I'm a two is better than the first one person.
It didn't feel like we needed a third movie here. I understand that you want to have a trilogy, and I do think the movie wraps up very neatly. I just don't know if this movie really adds anything to the trilogy other than, well, now we see them grow up.
I actually had that exact same thought. I head down to my notes. Who wanted this movie? It felt like they totally tried something new. It kind of felt like it's not a one for one. You know how Major League, the first two are about Cleveland. It's about these ragtag group becomes winners. It feels like that. One and two are very canon. And three for Major League is like suddenly it's the Twins minor league system and it's goofy. That's kind of half about this one. The first two, all right, it's about Gordon Bombay and then he becomes the coach and then Team USA and their fight with Team Iceland, the whole deal. And then this one's their JV players in high school. It just feels like it's not part of the whole thing.
Let me give you the box office for October 4th, the weekend. First Wives Club debuted at number one at $11 million. The Glimmer Man is number two at 7.6. That Thing You Do, $6.2 million in third place. Mighty Ducks opens up in fourth place that week is $6.1 million, and Extreme Measures is number five that week at $4 million.
Have you heard of any of those movies before you just named them? You could have made up those names for all I know.
I've heard of First Wives Club, Glimmer Man. The only one I haven't heard of is Extreme Measures. Now, I don't think I've seen Glimmer Man or That Thing You Do, but I have heard of them before.
I didn't even recognize the names. You could tell me right now any person is any of those movies, I believe you. First Wives Club, I actually recognize the name, but I don't know anything about those films.
Extreme Measures is a young doctor confronts a famous colleague when he learns about the true method of his work. I don't know if that's a movie. It does have Gene Hackman in it and Hugh Grant. So you know what? That movie might actually not be that bad.
It's got some people.
The movie might actually not be that bad. So we did talk about it a little bit. I did not hate this movie. I also wouldn't say that I like this movie. We'll get to the rating and why it's rated below a 6.0, and we'll rank this obviously at the end, but I just thought this movie was fine. If you want to watch The Mighty Ducks, this is not the movie that you watch. This movie wasn't really memorable to me in a lot of ways, but this also isn't a bad movie. I remember when I was a kid, you know, when having like a portable DVD player was like all the rave. We went on this like long road trip and my parents like set it up so we could just like, you know, entertain yourself in the back. And there was like a group of like, you know, cheap $5 movies you could watch. I could see myself watching this. This wasn't my movie that I watched, but I could understand how someone's like, man, I've seen The Mighty Ducks 17 times just because we had one of those movies on VHS. We had it on DVD and I just watched it a bunch.
I also could see how this movie people our age revere the Mighty Ducks movies. They are movies that, like, if you went and you polled 35 to 45 year olds, hey, hype about the Mighty Ducks movies. Kids loved them. They were a big deal when we were kids. So I could see how it's like a, hey, I watched D3 then because I wanted to finish the trilogy and I know about D3, but like, generally speaking, this movie, it didn't move me in any way. It was not the worst movie we've watched in this podcast, but it the entire time I felt like this was a cash grab movie. That's how I felt.
No, definitely. And I think the movie kind of lets you know that in the very, very beginning with Emilio Estevez that is in this movie, but not really
by the way,
in this
IMDb,
movie.
Which we use for our rating system, lists him as the top billed star. Now, I don't know if that's based on how much he makes, how much he's in the movie, but Emilio Estevez in what? Four scenes and two of those scenes are him just walking around. How is he the top billed actor in this movie?
Yeah, I'm with you. Charlie is the lead actor in this movie. The movie is, I mean, I understand he's the captain of the team. The movie is sort of told through Charlie's perspective.
Correct.
A lot of the magic, I think, of the first and the second movie are based off of the relationship between Charlie and Emilio. That if you're going to remove that device of telling a story when it is very clear, man, Charlie needs help. Like he is going through a very tumultuous time that happens when you're some age between 14 and 17 years old. You have these kind of peaks and valleys that you're trying to navigate and figure it out. And Gordon was always a very reliable force for him. To remove him from the movie, to me, takes away a lot of the heart and goodness of this movie. Then you killed Hans an hour into the movie.
Here's the, it's a very cheesy line. But it works a lot in Disney movies. He helped them as much as he helped us. Like, Charlie needs Gordon Bombay to navigate this part of his life. Gordon Bombay needs Charlie and needs the kids to kind of recenter and refocus and get back. So remember, he was a drunk and he got the DUI and the whole thing. So, like, Gordon needed the kids needed Gordon. We removed that whole thing. Now they're on scholarship and most of them don't really care about Coach Bombay, but they don't like the new coach. But having a new coach really seems to bother Charlie more so than anyone else. Like, it felt like in the past, the friction point was Gordon struggling to adjust to life as a coach and, like, guiding young people. This one, the big, you know, tension point was Charlie doesn't like the new coach. Everyone else seemed to get on board with the new coach pretty quick. Charlie's never connected with him.
Yeah, no, Charlie didn't really connect with him. I also am not really sure if the coach did a lot of things to kind of make him connect with him that I also thought was a very important part of this. We'll get to the plot here momentarily, but sometimes an idea just has an expiration date.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie just had an expiration date. This
two
movie
movies.
Is two movies. This movie is two movies.
Two really good movies, by the way.
It is the introduction to them in the first one. There hadn't really been a kid. And that's when, you know, Disney really shined with these kind of movies. Mighty Ducks, Angel in the Outfield, Big Green. They did a really good job with sports movies that were directed towards children. And then the second one, where do you take the story? You take it to nationalism. You take it to the United States. It's going up.
You add
this
new
team.
Characters in that actually fit and connect, like Kenan Thompson did in the second one. Knuckle Puck, yeah.
100%. In this one, it's like, I'm supposed to not like the older kids. I don't know. It just didn't really connect with me on that level. So the movie starts with Gordon Bombay and Charlie going their separate ways. Gordon Bombay is taking a fancy job and can no longer coach the Ducks. We get introduced to a lot of our friends from the first two movies. They are soon to be introduced at their new school. Well, there's some tension between the current hockey team and the incoming Ducks. Some of the Ducks are at the assembly. Some of the Ducks crash the assembly. Charlie has a bit of a crush on the first girl he meets, but he's a jock, so she's not checking for him quite yet.
Oh, the love story thing was just a waste. Like, a lot of times in this podcast, you will hear us, if you're a consistent listener, say, this movie's doing too much. They didn't do that storyline well. The love story, maybe it's a bit of an aggressive statement. The flirtation he had with this girl was a storyline I didn't care about at all. I don't think they developed it at all. It was like, you're a jock, I don't like you. Every once in a while, they have like little friendly passing moments in the hallway. And then at the end, it's like, I'm happy you got to stay. You owe me a Coke. That's the whole payoff? What?
I don't, as we watch more and more movies here, you know, when you watch good movies, bad movies, whatever, you know, we just like watching movies. You then notice, I don't know why movies feel like there has to be a love interest
Correct.
In it. Like, there's no reason for
there's
this
no
movie.
There's no love interest in the first two movies, I guess, among the kids. Like,
yeah, there's no reason for, I would say, the two love interest story. The kid that can't skate, I don't know how anybody has taught him how to stop or any of those things. That's kind of the bit for him. He's trying to mac on the one girl. I don't really know why that storyline is important to the
movie. Who cares? Yep.
And then you're right. Like, Charlie's trying to talk to this girl, but she's not interested in him. And we all know at the end of the movie, they're going to end up liking each other.
Stupid.
I don't really understand the purpose of having a 14-year-old love story that ultimately just doesn't really enhance the movie in any way and doesn't really add to the lesson of the movie also in any way.
And like a lot of times in movies, there's like that trope of like over time the girl or guy started being there for the other person. When Hans dies, she wasn't like there for him. I guess she's at the meeting, to skip ahead in the movie, where like they have the board meeting. She's kind of in there, but like no one needed a freshman in high school's love story. No one.
Yeah, no, it just doesn't add anything. What did you think of the scene where Goldberg is skating through the city?
And then they eventually crash the, I guess, orientation assembly, I was, that part confused me. I get what they're trying to do. They were trying to show the Ducks are this ragtag group, and like some are conforming and becoming scholarship athletes and growing up, and some are still the ragtag group they always were. I get they were trying to show me, but I didn't care about the skating to the city part. He rams through that girl with her groceries down the stair. It didn't really move me at all.
This is what I just didn't really understand at all as I was watching the movie. I feel like they are one of the most popular kids in America.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they exist in the world where Charlie mentions it later. They named a professional hockey team after us. And I understand, you know what I mean? But like, he says that in the movie.
Yeah.
You guys now go to our school? They'd be some of the most popular kids there. But, like, the older kids don't want them there, then call them, like, trailer trash and trash later on in the movie.
They do a bad job of developing this storyline. And I think I did not like this movie, spoiler alert, because I don't feel like they developed any one plot point. It just was like, there it is, take it or leave it. But during the assembly, at one point they were like, that's the captain of the varsity team. His brother, who we never meet, by the way, can no longer play JV anymore because you guys showed up, and he's mad about it. And that's his dad. And you're like, that's why the varsity, because they brought in a new JV team, and that made the varsity angry. Like, okay, your brother, who we assume exists, although we never met him, it was a dumb thing.
Yeah, and I mean it's a movie, right?
Yeah.
But like the whole plot point is that you've guaranteed spots on JV to these kids.
Yeah.
Like they're making are they making money for the school? Why do you care about their performance? Like what administrator is worried about the record of the JV team?
JV hockey.
I can understand if it's the varsity squad, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is, you know, we are a prep school. What we do here in Minnesota is we play hockey. Yes, then the head coaching position will be a very coveted spot.
Correct.
You know, you got a chance to go on and be a college coach if you knock this job out. But you guys are overly, like, for the JV, this doesn't make any sense. This is dumb.
Also, this is a very nitpick of the movie. They multiple times called them the JV team, but then they also were like, this group of freshmen. So you're telling me a group of 14-year to 15-year-olds have come on campus and they are the ire of everyone on campus? No freshman team, even if they all are JV, is this under this level of microscope. But there are top level basketball and football players that are freshmen that show up at high schools that don't have this level of scrutiny from administrators. It seemed kind of goofy to me.
I wrote this down. Charlie wanted Gordon to not take that job.
Yeah.
So he could be the JV coach. I could understand if they were the varsity coach. You're like, hey, come, you know, you can be the coach at Oak Hill, for example, top prep school, or IMG
Sunrise,
Academy, something like that, right? You wanted him to stay on so he could be your JV? No, you moved on from youth hockey. Mm-hmm. You're now going to play high school hockey. You get a new coach eventually. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean? Like, that part, I mean, it's a movie. I don't want to be overly critical, especially of a kid movie. But now that we are adults, we kind of know how youth sports work. Like, that guy who do you think he is? Mr. Feeney? He's going to be your teacher your entire life? No, that's not how this works.
And by the way, they made it seem like he turned down a large job at a law firm in Chicago. Hey, you're going to be a lawyer in Chicago, but I want you to coach JV hockey in Minnesota. No.
Do you think that Coach O'Neill was a good coach?
Yes, I do.
And I don't think he was a good coach.
This is my frustration with the movie, too. what he's preaching at its core and like being tough on kids is we all had a high school coach like that. Hey, we're not in youth sports anymore. Someone's dad isn't coaching the team anymore. This isn't a volunteer who like you guys hoop up for me is basketball, but in the movie is hockey. You guys all play together and you have a sleepover at so-and-so's house and Mr. like, this isn't that anymore. This is the next level up and I'm going to be harsher on you than a youth coach. That's how it's supposed to work. And I think the movie does a good job of this. And I know it's getting ahead a little bit. What he preaches is, guys, I know you can score. In youth hockey, it's easy to score. You got to defend. Mm-hmm. You got to defend. You got to. And
what's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Don't try to suck up to me, Averman. Defense. See, unlike scoring, defense never quits. But to play great defense, you need one thing above all else.
That starts with a W.
Confidence.
Which apparently makes them mad. But in their first game, they play to a draw at 9-9 in a hockey game. Yeah, I think he's a good coach to look up and say, hey, we gave up 9 goals. Maybe we should tighten that side of the ice up a bit.
See, this is the thing, though. I don't disagree with you about X's and O's and strategy. Mm-hmm. But I think coaches sometimes forget that what you are you are in the people business.
That's fair.
And I don't think that he really tried to connect with Charlie, who Charlie is clearly their leader.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason for you to come in and have Charlie on one side and you on the other side. You're not going to get the most out of the kids.
Correct.
If that was the case. I felt like that was a mistake. I also feel like you brought them in as a collective because they're the Ducks.
Yeah.
You can't then at every turn be like, oh, you're not the Ducks anymore. Well, that's why we're here. We're here because of them. I thought the coach, and ultimately he comes around, but you got to try to incorporate some of what they already do and like, and you got to mold that into what you already do and play a little bit of a hybrid of your style in your system. I don't think that he really did that until the bus scene later on.
Correct.
Or when he took kind of ownership. Hey, these are my players is when he finally did that. And then at the end, he finally came around. They're doing the quack. Like, you were mad they were doing the quack. That's what they do. That's how they break down their team. Let them break them down.
I also, to defend him a little bit, and maybe this is it's a movie for in the weeds. When you get to high school, you kind of got to assimilate to high school culture a little bit. You got to get into the, it's not youth sports anymore. We don't do quack, quack, quack. Yeah, that's how you broke down. But now they did 1-2-3 team. But if you break down 1-2-3 Eaton Hall or 1-2-3 Warriors, that's your team now. You gotta kind of assimilate. I think he tried too hard to assimilate them into this is what Eaton Hall culture is, or Eaton whatever it was culture is. And he should have done a little hybrid, but at its core, he was like, yo, you're high school players now. This youth sport Duck stuff, knock it off. It's time to grow up.
One storyline I didn't like from like a personal sense, but I think is really good. Why would you be mad that Adam Banks is playing varsity? He's a freshman.
Yeah,
He got named to the varsity team on one of the best hockey teams in the state. Maybe the best. They won the state championship. You wouldn't be mad if your boy was off JV and now playing varsity. Like, hey, yo, Adam, good for you. We're going to meet you up there. You wouldn't be hating on Adam. I've been hating on Adam for the whole series.
I actually think I agree with you. They did a good job with this. Maybe this is, again, looking at through like the lens of realism when it's a movie. There was probably a kid that you went to high school with that made varsity ahead of you or was a better athlete than you and bumped up a level ahead of you. Your first reaction to that is never like, that's my guy, I love him. Your first reaction as a high schooler is jealousy. You are, at your core, somewhat angry. So I get how, at the start, they're like, Banks gets to go to varsity before us, and there was an element of jealousy.
That's what I mean. They've been hating on Banks. They were hating
they
on Banks
him,
in the first movie. They're hating on Banks in the third movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Adam was hanging out with y'all for as long as he's been hanging out with you. So the rosters are out. Banks is moving up to play varsity. Everybody else is on JV. Goldberg is backing up. Julie is starting. Charlie is not the captain. No one is. It's to be determined. Charlie is still having a tough time at practice. He's not seeing Coach O'Neill's vision, but that's not hurting his confidence off the ice with Linda. This coach, I wrote it down, this coach has to do a better job of trying to blend the two styles. We just talked about it. We've got the Eaton Hall way. You guys got the Ducks way. Why don't we do a better job of fusing those two things in there? So it's time for the first game. We've been hearing all this talk. We know how this is going to go. Well, the Ducks get out to a 9-0 lead, and boy, they were smoking that
Put
team.
Put it on them, yeah.
They were smoking that team.
At one point, they got, I forget which, I think it was Keenan that asked the refs, like, or was it Goldberg? Hey, if you just want to call it now, we can all go home early. Like, they were enjoying, apparently the varsity's there hating on this the whole time.
This had a little bit of 90s sitcom, because one of my favorite episodes of Fresh Prince is where Will gets hustled at the pool table. Mm-hmm. He goes down there, thinks that he's the big man on campus. He goes up against this Ronald Isley-looking character. A guy smokes him in pool. Then Uncle Phil comes and wins his money back for him. That's what this kind of felt like. I think that the other team tanked it. I think the other team was trying to prove a point. You don't just get down 9-0 accidentally and then turn it on and tie it at 9-9. No, it was like something clicked, like, all right, let's go. We are here to prove a point. Mm-hmm. I think the other team tanked it. I think the Ducks got hustled here.
I don't, but I think this whole scene is designed to sell the idea that, hey, look, the coach preaching defense, he's right. Now, I think they did it like goofy, like they're up 9-0 and they play to a draw. Like, really, that's how you're gonna do it?
You could rather them just lose. Yeah, I'd rather them lose.
Just lose, or like, you know, maybe it's like my sports brain showing. You could have them give up four. Four is a lot in hockey. Yeah. Like, you don't have to give up. You don't have to have them jump out to a 9-0 lead and then give up 9 goals. But like, I think at its core, what it was showing was
how long are the
you
quarters?
Guys are assimilate.
How long are the quarters?
In high school, I have no idea.
Because in basketball, there's 4 8-minute quarters. I don't know how, I've never seen a high school hockey game. I don't know how long periods are.
Periods in the NHL are 20, so I would think it's probably the same because two halves in college basketball is 20. It's 4 8.
Yeah, I don't think it's that long then. I'm guessing it's probably, we could probably look at it, it's probably 10 minutes.
I was gonna say 10 to 12,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, it's like, you scored 9 goals in 10 minutes? It's ridiculous. I don't care how bad you are defensively. Stand in the way of somebody. Trip somebody. Do something. Goodness gracious.
Well, like, they also, like, all right, skipping ahead to the next scene. They get to the locker room. Coach gets in there. He hucks a puck at the cork board. He hucks a puck and goes, it takes 1 second to score. 1 sec. Like, so maybe the timing is... If you can give up a goal in the blink of an eye in hockey.
I know, but I'm saying is you don't get down 9-0 over 2 periods, and then in the final, you outscored them 9-0 in the 1 period. Not when you're getting your ass whooped the way they was getting their ass whooped. You're right. They could have told this story in a 5-2 loss.
Mm-hmm.
That seems a little bit more realistic. Yeah. Maybe
you're Ducks, still bad defensively if you're a 5.
Yeah, maybe the Ducks get out to an early 2-0 lead in the first period.
They start
they
hamming
think this
it up.
Is going to be easy, and now it's boom, boom, boom. You know, the other team wins 5-2. The 9-0 was a drastic charge. Charlie also is spiraling. This is where the coach to me has to do a better job of, like, part of it is you're also in charge of 14-year-old's emotions. You got hormone, puberty, girl, new school, mom, pops ain't around. It's a lot of stuff going on. The coach has got to try to be more of a father figure mentor to Charlie, who clearly is talented, but just is a little bit angry right now. He doesn't have his usual support system. He feels like he's losing control. I don't really think that the coach did a really good job in that scenario. So the Ducks are falling apart in the locker room, which is certainly understandable after that. The coach is pissed. Defense, defense, defense. It's time to go goose egg hunting. After some pranks back and forth, the seniors invite the Ducks out for a very nice dinner, but this feels like a trick, and of course it was. The freshmen get stuck with the bill, $857. Prank wars continue with the African Fire Ranch, which leads to a challenge between the varsity and the JV. It's a kid's movie, so I get it. This is a small criticism. The prank war stuff was dumb.
The entire time.
It was dumb.
And by the way, some of the pranks, I'm like, I get what they were doing with the prank war, but they used, what, liquid nitrogen to freeze the entire locker room? Like, their Letterman's jackets shattered like glass? What is this? Maybe my high school pranks weren't in depth enough, but that was like an expensive thing.
No, it definitely was. I guess I'm just thinking is I understand that these kids movies try to create like moments of like, ha ha ha, like those laugh funny out moments in the theater. And I'm watching it now as a mid-30s something. I'm like,
no,
this is stupid. Like, you took them to Capitol Grill and ran up a bill, and now it was $850-something for you guys to eat. Now they got to go. Now you're, like, getting ants on them and stuff. And I wasn't a huge, huge fan of this portion of the movie. So this leads to a challenge, the varsity and the JV. I don't know why somebody didn't turn the light on. Seems very difficult to play hockey at night, 6 o'clock. Yeah. It's like, how can we see Alry moving around here? Nobody turns on the light.
Also, you knew the minute that challenge was issued, Varsity's going to just smoke them.
Yeah, you knew it.
Like, even the way the movie was going. Also, it felt like, man, this is bad casting. They did a good job making the Varsity look bigger than them. But I think it was overdone. I'm like, are the Varsity juniors in college? They look like adults compared to these kids.
Yeah, we will say that, though. But, I mean, you know, we were in high school.
Yeah, there's...
Man, I'm just saying, you entering high school at 14, and if this is the state champion, so it's, you know, this is the upperclassman veteran team. Juniors and seniors, you're a lot bigger when you leave high school than when you get in there. And, I mean, they got girls on the other team, and Goldberg's out of shape, and... you're right. I did think they did a really good job. And, man, it is so crazy how these movies cast. Because we don't know the kid's name. I didn't even look his kid's name up. The captain for the Eden Hall, that's how I think the hockey captain of a school like that looks like. You know what I mean? Like, he looked the part.
Yep.
They then had the big, dumb, goofy enforcer kid. He looks how I think he would look. Like, Eden Hall looked exactly how Eden Hall's hockey team should imagine. The casting director, A-plus job.
You know, second big game with the whole crowd there. When they start like, oh, we're going to start being physical. I'm like, you're getting physically punished by a lot bigger athletes out here.
Fight. Charlie and Banks are rumbling on the ice, which ends the game. Coach O'Neill appears and breaks up the game, and he tells the Duck that they got to make a decision. It's either his way or the highway. Well, Charlie quits. They choose the highway and quit. After a day of hanging out, Fulton decides that he doesn't want to be a teenage delinquent anymore and wants to go back to school, which upsets Charlie. Hans, Charlie's voice of reason, also passes away. Gordon Bombay pops back up and tries to help Charlie out of his funk. Gordon shows Charlie the truth about his head coach, why he's still in Minnesota.
But real quick, I want to pause right here. I think this is a nice storyline that they should have done better with. The reason this guy is the hockey coach here and not a pro anymore is because of his daughter who had a car accident. I believe it was a car accident.
Yeah.
Like,
I actually like the way they did this part of the story.
I would have liked more of this. Like, they didn't really humanize Coach O'Neill very well. And they hoped this one scene would be like, see, look, he's a person the same way. All you could have throughout the movie kind of like, maybe he has to leave practice early to go be with his, like, there's a way to do it other than sits in the upper tank and watches him skate his daughter around. Now he's like, oh, he is a person, not a monster. Like, that's the entirety of how you did this?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a fair thing, though, I guess, with like a Disney kids movie. Yeah, I just don't think that's what they would have done. So, like, I like the way that they showed it. He was like, hey, you're just some washed up hack that wants to like push around kids. And then he shows them and he kind of, it softens Charlie a little bit.
It's his daughter. She was injured in a car accident about 5 years ago. He was driving and they got sideswiped. So that's why he gave up playing pros. The North Stars left Minnesota, he stayed. He didn't want to disrupt her recovery. Her doctors and her friends were here. I just thought he was some washed up bully who couldn't hack it.
Well, you can hack it, Charlie. He just simply made a choice. And I don't think he's ever regretted it for a minute.
What I don't think the movie has is, the movie doesn't have that moment between Charlie and his new coach.
Correct.
He has that moment with Gordon. He never really has that moment with O'Neill, where it's just, hey, this is where I'm coming from. I want the best for you. I think you can be a really good hockey player. That's what I think the one scene that's missing in this movie is. There needs to be coach, most important player, and best player. I need to see them connect at some point and help use that as a vehicle to help turn Charlie's attitude around.
I think we're saying the same thing here semantically. This movie didn't have a heart. It didn't have that moment that pulled at your heartstrings. And why I didn't like...
It tried with the kid on the ice. Yeah. It tried.
And I think it tried. And if they had actually done it, you could have gotten the same result of Charlie and the coach finally coming together and understanding it. You could have had him softened by learning this over the course of time. You didn't need Gordon to walk him around the facility and be like, look, see, he's a person. And then he's like, oh, now I'm totally softened. It could have been done over the timeline of the movie. It just felt like they were like, See, now Charlie learned because of this accident in this guy's past.
The board is about to pull the kids' scholarships because they aren't living up to the expectations, which seems very difficult to understand because they're playing JV hockey.
Should you decide to pursue their cancellation, I will slap you with an injunction. I will tie this matter up in court for years, until long after these kids have gone on to college. And I will collect damages. I will win. Because I am very, very good. You know why I'm so good? Because I had a good education. You gave it to me. And you're going to give it to these kids.
Gordon Bombay, who is also their attorney, tells the school he will sue them for breaching their contract without cause. Well, this works. Their scholarships are reinstated, and the Ducks can stay. Their game against the Varsity is coming up, and it's time to get to work. It's time to pick up the trash. Yo, you wouldn't be able.
Terrible coaching here.
You wouldn't be able to overcome the ass whooping I just saw you guys got in a week's time.
Mm-mm.
That team's just better than you are. I'm like, that Varsity team is superior in almost every single way than you guys are.
And my point about the physical difference, like, you can do a lot of things in coaching. Hey, we're going to pick up the trash. All they do is pick up trash around the front of the net. Okay, that's a fine coaching point.
That was funny, though.
It's funny. But, like, what I learned in watching the final game is, oh, those 18-year-olds are just bigger, faster, and stronger than you.
And you know one thing? They never really had a tryout.
Uh-uh.
They never really had a try. Like, how do we know? Oh, Adam Banks is the only kid on the Ducks that could have played on the Varsity team. He's the only one. You're telling me Charlie wasn't good enough to play Varsity? You're telling me that none of those other kids were? Yeah, man. Start having more fair tryouts. Everybody should be given a chance to compete and go up to the Varsity level. So their game is coming up against the big boy squad. It's time to get to work. After a much-needed uniform change, the Ducks are back, baby. Well, as the game gets going, the Warriors, the Varsity, are being very physical with our Ducks, but they're holding their own. The Ducks are doing their thing through the first two periods. The Bash Brothers are together once again. Portman is here. Wait, hold on. You can play in the school event even though you haven't been going to school?
And by the way, he's like, my lawyers, I had this lying around. My lawyer said if I sign it, I get to play. I'm back, baby. You're on the roster.
Gordon Bombay, yeah. I'm just sitting there thinking like, wait, this is a game between the Varsity students and you haven't been a student. You haven't attended any class yet. You could show up in the middle of the game. It was crazy. Well, the Ducks are down two men. It is up to Conway, Banks, and Goldberg to see if they can win this thing. The coach then gives Charlie the confidence. Go win it if you can. Well, Charlie has a chance to score the final goal of the game, but he drops it off to Goldberg instead to win the game. Goldberg shoots and scores. The Ducks win. Everybody gets the girl at the end of the movie, and this concludes Mighty Ducks 3.
Everyone gets the girl. Because I didn't like the love story lines, I didn't like really invest in them. But him, when the captain is walking off the ice for the Varsity team and can't stop guy is making out with this girl on the ice and he's like, sorry. And she's like, don't know what to tell you. I'm like, I would have fought that kid right there.
100%.
I wouldn't have just put my head down and I'm like, well, he won the game. I'm still Varsity captain. I don't know how long he and that girl have been together, but you're now making out with a freshman? What are we doing?
Yeah. Hey, she was the baddest chick in school, too. It'd be one thing if she was trying to hook up if Charlie had took your guy. Like, what? Hold on. You lost your girl to... He ain't even the second best player on this team. You was with the captain. Now you with the role player on JV?
Yeah. Can you imagine if, like... And by the way, we presume that she's probably the same age as the captain. Can you imagine if the senior it girl stopped dating the senior it guy and just started making out with some rando freshman at an event? People be like, what the hell's going on?
Crazy. Like its predecessor, the film received negative reviews and holds a 20% rating based on 15 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes with an average rating of 3.8 out of 10. Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times, this is how he describes the movie. It is predictable. The third version is more or less the same story. Evil, petty, vindictive, mean-spirited, cheating, lying snobs try to stop them. But the Ducks, after their first dealing with cockiness, infighting, pride, and anger, and a new coach, redeem themselves in the big match. This is the same formula that I would say most kids' movies have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not looking at a movie in which the lead actor is Charlie.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting it to have, like, plot twists and turns. But I agree with you. There is a heart to the first one.
Mm-hmm. And the second one, too.
That is a redemption story in a lot of ways. It is a redemption story. And then in the second one, you already know the characters. They introduce some really cool characters. And it's now they're the United States.
And there's a heart of, like, you got too corporate-y, basically. Yeah. You need to get back to who you are. Ducks. Like, that's good, too.
Yeah, this... It's funny because, you know what, this feels like Rocky V.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about there's a core. This has a little bit of Rocky, but it ain't got that same magic. It doesn't have that same sizzle. That's how I feel about Mighty Ducks 3. What's something that this movie does well? What's something you like about this movie?
The turmoil Charlie has with the new coach. I get how a guy who's the captain of the hockey team and has been the leader of this ragtag group, which what the Ducks are, who has connected with this coach, who has won at the international level and at the club level, at the youth sports level, supposedly like we've never seen before, and they named a team after him. Like, I could see how, if you've had that level of success with that coach and this group, how you could struggle to conform to new coaching. You know, scholarships now add a new element to this. You are always like the goofy leader of this ragtag group. You don't want to fall in line and get corporate-y because in the second one, you kind of got corporate-y. You got to get back to your roots. I think the struggle of Charlie to learn the difference from high school to youth sports has done very well.
I'm going to go two things here. Number one, surprisingly enough, the hockey's not bad.
The hockey's good too.
Hockey's not bad in this. And for a kid's Disney movie, the hockey could have been bad. It could have looked goofy.
It did it good in every movie too, to its credit.
It looks good here. I hadn't seen the Mighty Ducks franchise, so to watch it, I'm like, oh, okay, this looks good, looks believable, looks fast-paced. It looks like all this. You know, I'm going to throw something out there just a little bit different we haven't talked about. It is kind of cool how they have female characters in this, and they don't really make it a big deal. Like, they are just on the team. They're just on the team. Now, I mean, some of it is like, they would have their own locker room, but you know what I mean? But I mean, just like, they don't treat the women any different in here. The girls are viewed as equal. That girl is a better goaltender than Goldberg is. She wins the job, fair and square. I think that's a really good message to Cheese. Like,
especially this time this came out, too.
Like, yeah, these movies just don't have to be for little boys. Little girls also can watch them. Like, oh, man, I like Big Cat, Daphne. She's a good character. I thought that was a really cool thing now watching this movie with the more modern lens. What do you not like about this movie?
Well, I've mentioned that it does a poor job of having a heart. I think on top of that, I'm going to say the love stories. They just never resonate with me. So like we've talked for so long about the lack of heart in this movie that I'll just kind of let that sit on its own. The love stories. We did not need high school crushes and high school girl. Like high school romance is a different genre. We did not need it worked in. And I actually think it kind of set back the thing about the girls part of the hockey team. The fact that like, oh, these girls on the team, we don't really talk about it. It's like they're just part of the team. But these two girls are just in the movie strictly to be props for a love story.
Charlie sucked for most of the movie. He redeems himself at the end, and I get it. You're 14. You're going through something. For Charlie to be the main character of the movie, he wasn't really likable for a large portion of the movie. Just wasn't very likable. I didn't like his interaction with his mom. I didn't like his interaction with his coach. Hans tried to talk to him. He wasn't really listening, wasn't paying attention. I don't think this is something that the movie got wrong because I think this is a very difficult transition period for a lot of young kids. But Charlie's character just sucked. For him to be the main antagonist, the main character of this movie, was not a huge fan of Charlie Conway.
That's fair. I feel like he is the main character and they didn't do him great.
Those Ducks jerseys are fly, though.
Well, the exact same jerseys the actual team wears.
I know, so, but just like, man, in the final game, you're sitting there even now, like, man, those Ducks jerseys, they kind of nice.
It looks better than the Warrior jerseys for sure.
Yeah, like, man, I would wear one of these Duck jerseys if somebody gave me one of these jerseys. All right, this movie is a 5.5. I forgot to say it earlier. This movie is available on Disney Plus if you want to check this out. Mighty Ducks 3 is on Disney Plus. 5.5 on IMDb. Too much, too little, or just right?
Just right. The movie misses on a lot of things the first two do well, but it's not a bad movie. It's just kind of... ugh, it just kind of exists. I think it's the worst one because it's in this franchise, but if you watched it as a one-off and had no knowledge of the first two, you'd be like, that's just a... paint by numbers Disney movie that doesn't hit your heart the way it should. I think 5.5 is about right. I don't think you could have much higher, but I think if you get lower, you're probably just be a little bit of a hater.
This is the most fair rating that has ever been given out for a movie on this podcast.
It's perfect.
It's the most fair, accurate. This movie is fine.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is not. If you want to watch the Mighty Ducks, watch the first or the second one. If the third, if you watch the third one and you like the first two, you won't be disappointed. It's just not memorable. 5.5 is not a memorable movie. That's what this. It's fine. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
It's vanilla ice cream. There's better ice cream, but you also could get some goofy flavors that are worse. It's perfectly down the middle.
Yeah, no, it's perfectly fine. All right, so what we're going to do in March is we're going to do kind of a little bit of a hybrid. We've got some Black History movies that we were going to do, but we kind of got behind because of the Super Bowl. We'll do a couple other movies. So I think we'll try to shoot to maybe do like 5 or 6 podcasts in March, kind of get us back on track for April. We appreciate you guys sticking through us. We are back on our regular schedule every Tuesday. You guys are listening to the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie. We'll catch you guys next week. Keep it right here for another episode.